Yes, so as I was saying, I'm hoping everyone's doing okay, despite all the attacks, if I may put it that way, on the righteous, right? Everything that's going on, some of the things that I just see that those in charge are doing are just incredible. And we just need to really stay in prayer, stay focused, because we don't know what's going to happen or how long it's going to last. But this is one of the reasons where we really need to make sure we're serving Elohim correctly. And that's what the book of Acts helps. That's one of the things the book of Acts does. As new covenant believers, what is it we're supposed to be doing? And also in the book of Revelations, as we do that, it helps us know what we are to actually expect in our future by looking at some of the things that have happened and so on. So let's continue today with the Book of Acts. Last Sabbath we ended at verse 12, so we will continue in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and on. Okay, I have to maneuver myself a little bit here with this new device. So verse 12. So verse 12 of Acts chapter 4 said, and hold on one second, I'm going to move maneuver something so I could do something a little better here. Hold on, brethren. Okay, hopefully this will work better. I could hold my Bible in one hand and use the device with the other, I guess. On the other side. So, yeah, so in verse 12 of chapter 4 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So there's no other authority given among men. And as I was reading the book of Matthew, because I'm in process of rereading the entire Bible, actually that's what we're doing as a family. We're in process of rereading the entire Bible, and I'm back in the book of Matthew, and I was reading something, and I noticed something Messiah said in Matthew. Let me see where that is. Matthew chapter 14, I believe. All right. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42 says, he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. So receiving me in this case was the Messiah, and him that sent me was the Father. Verse 41 says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And verse 42 says, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Okay, so you see the order here. First, Messiah speaks of himself, who received authority from the Father. Then he speaks to someone who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, right? And then someone who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. And then someone who gives actually a cup of cold water in the only, he says only in the name of the disciples. Why did he use the only? Because he wants to make sure we understand one of the points he's making. This is the level of authority. A few months or maybe about a year ago, Brother Richard, went through the authority of which the scriptures, the revelation is given to man. And we went through, and he and Brother Richard went through the from Elohim, through the prophets and through the people in a new covenant, through the bishops and to the general person. So here it's showing you the concern here. He's trying to show you about how all good, whatever good we do in his name or in the name of righteousness, name of a prophet, in the name of a disciple, will not go unrewarded. And he says, whosoever, right? So this is showing you that when he's using the word name, it's about the authority. And that's why it goes from top down, from Elohim to the Son, to the prophet, to the righteous man, and to only a disciple. So it's showing you about the level of authority, so to say. So when I saw that, it registered in my mind, showing the levels, and it again has to do with the name, which is more than just saying it in a particular language, but it's saying it with really understanding, and it is saying it knowing that the name represents the person or the name. So as we're reading here in verse 12, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. See, he's speaking of the being. There's no other being, no one else. And there is no other name under heaven, no other authority given among men by which we must be saved. So let's continue with verse 13 and on. So in verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Yeshua, with the Savior. So again, these men were not educated very educated. I would understand they were very devout men. That's why they were chosen. They were not uncaring people. They were devout in their minds, in their hearts. Although they probably did not have the quote-unquote training that the people of those days would recognize as being educated. They were regular people. So they were surprised by that such ordinary people could do such amazing things, unordinary things. And that's what we are being called to do. I will always try to connect this, what the lessons are with us. Because that's why we do. We are to do things. Although we may all be regular people, we must all be doing amazing things. Okay, by in contrast to who we are, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected, right? So if we have a little, we must do more. If we are little, we must do more than what our littleness, our smallness represents. People must be surprised. You want to understand? People should not see us as being little and then see little or insignificant and see something insignificant. With the power of the Spirit, we can do amazing things, not amazing things so people can boast, but amazing things so that the name of Elohim will be praised and glorified, and that many people will turn to him, and that many and the body will be edified. That's always the purpose. So they were amazed, and they recognized that they had been with the Savior, with Yahushua. They recognize that. Verse 14. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So the testimony of the work done. See, when the work is done by the Spirit, nothing, no one can speak against it. That's why Yeshua says, I will give your mouth that no one can gainsay, no one can speak against, no one can overrule it, because it will be by the power of the Spirit. They might try forbid to do harm, to shut us down, but no one will be able to argue successfully against what we do when it's being done by the power of the Spirit. If we're doing it through just much study, and then our ability to learn through study is flawed, and so our results can be flawed. But if it's coming from the Spirit, there's never error by the Spirit. You see, when we do something that's truly by the Holy Spirit, there we will not make a mistake. Now, when I say mistake, I'm not necessarily, because Moses stumbled in his words so poor. It's not eloquence. I'm not saying how great our vocabulary is or anything of that nature, but I'm saying that the truth that we're conveying will be true, even if we may stumble at our words or whatever. But the truth that we're imparting will be true. So they were able to say nothing against what they saw, the man, the healed man standing beside them, the testimony. Verse 5, but when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another. Okay, so they didn't want them to hear what they were saying among themselves. So they asked the disciples to leave the council, and they spoke among themselves. And what did they say? What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. So you see their mindset? It's not that they wouldn't deny it if they could, but because it was made manifest to everyone. Everyone saw it. But if they could deny it, they would. And there's a lot of that going on today in our time, in our society. We cannot trust what others are doing that are not of the body. I'll put it that way to keep it simple. Those that are not in Messiah's hands, we can't trust what they are doing. We can't. Even if it's family, believe it or not. And that's why Messiah warned in the last days, the father will betray, the parents will betray the children, and the children will betray the parents. Right? So how much more? So there's so much talk about being confident and trusting such and such groups, won't name names, who are making the decisions. We can't do that. But we can trust Elohim in Messiah's name by his Spirit. That's what we must do. And in that trust, we must make manifest, we must live by that trust. For the just shall live by faith. So what we believe in, we must live by. We say we believe in Elohim, believe in his Son, believe in his Spirit, then we must live by that. That's the only way we will have the success and the strength we need. I should say the strength and the resolve we need to overcome and be successful. Otherwise, the things of this world will weigh us down. You know? So we need to be strong and firm in the faith that we have. So they said, we cannot deny it. Verse 7, but in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. You see that? It didn't matter that they saw the miracle. It didn't matter. See, the miracles are to bring those who are lost into faith. But those that are wicked, it's just there to their condemnation. Like I said, the sword is like the word of the eternal is like a two-edged sword. In one way, it brings life to those who are repenting. And in the other, it condemns and brings death to those who are rejecting the word. You see, they saw this miracle too. They know it, but they didn't care. That's not what they care about. They don't care about the kingdom. And that's why they and their descendants took out just about everything from the Bible, from the scriptures, that they could, that speaks of a kingdom, that speaks of the Son of Man. Because that's not what they want. They want planet Earth only. They want their lives only. They've accepted that they'll die, but they just want to live and enjoy their authority and so on while they rule over others. It was such at that time, and today, the same thing is going on. Ruling over people, robbing us of our freedoms. But Elohim is in charge, and we must hang in there in that faith. And in that faith, we must cry out in prayer. Prayer is so important, I cannot say enough. I just wish more of us would come together to pray when we have these opportunities. For where two or three are gathered in His name, in that name must be the Sovereign, Yeshua, the Savior. He will grant what we ask. Do we believe that? Let us believe it. Let's pray that we can believe it. So they call them in verse 18 and charge them to speak or to not speak or teach at all in the name of Yeshua. Do you think they had an issue saying the word Yeshua? Not the word Yeshua. It's speaking in His authority, speaking on His behalf. That's what the issue is. So when Yusei says, praise the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, it's not just saying, say the name and with words of praise, but actually praising Him. Literally, that's what it means. So verse 19, but Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of Elohim to listen to you rather to Elohim. Let me read that. Verse 19. But Peter, John said, whether it is right in the sight of Elohim to listen to you rather than to Elohim, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Okay? So here they are. He didn't ask them, what do you think? They're wise and they're speaking by the Spirit. What's the point of asking, what do you think? What do you think? Do you think it's better for us to listen to you or to listen to Elohim? No. They said, He says, but whether it is right in the sight of Elohim to listen to you, they're concerned about what Elohim thinks, not what they think. And that's why their words came up. What's right for us in the sight of Elohim? We're not concerned about what's right in your sight in this case, because we see you are wicked men. See, the Spirit registers these things clearly in them. So they're not going to ask, well, what do you think? Do you suppose that we need to listen to you instead of listening to Elohim? They didn't say it like that. He says, it's what's right in the sight of Elohim to listen to you or rather than Elohim. That's your judgment. But for them, they said, we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. And that's just as Messiah said. We testify to you what we have seen and heard. But many people try to speak about the scriptures and things about what they have not seen, what they have not heard, but from Elohim, but rather hearsay from men or texts written by quote-unquote intelligent men. And all these intelligent men, people get lost forgetting that these intelligent men are just that, intelligent men. And they're drawing conclusions based on their limited intelligence, not from observation, not from truth. And this happens in science as well as religion. Okay, I see that all the time. People are drawing conclusions that are really not from the scriptures. They're like things that intelligent men are saying. And that the disciples, instead of being disciples of Elohim or of Messiah, they're being disciples. They don't realize they've made themselves disciples of men because they're taking these various teachings of men that really don't agree with Scripture. And they take it as authority. We're not to do that. That's going to lead us. That's when we take the hand of the blind to lead us. And we know what will happen. We will both fall in the ditch. We cannot take flawed men's teachings as authoritative. unless they demonstrate to you the power of the Spirit, then you know they're not speaking from what they've learned by their own personal study, but they're speaking from what Elohim is causing them to say. And some of it will come from study. Some of it will come from their observations, but it will be accurate by the Spirit of Elohim. Because we have many intelligent men looking at the scriptures and coming to the wrong conclusions. And we don't need that. But we will speak what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, and I wanted to say that when they say warn them, and in verse 17 and verse 18 charge them, they were basically threatening them. Just as we've been threatened today, do this or else. We're being so pushed into a corner, coerced, and we're being told we have a choice. All this is demonic. Because there's no choice given when your livelihood is taken. Oh, I'll give you a choice. There's no choice there. But thanks to Elohim who is in charge, and will bring all evil down. That's guaranteed, brethren. That's guaranteed. Just be patient in him. Pray for him in the strength. Watch and see what he does. But you must be praying to participate in that victory. We must be walking uprightly, humbly before him, not measuring ourselves to fellow men. We need to be encouraged by the walk of the upright, but we really need to be measuring ourselves to Messiah and to his word. And understanding that if we're walking before him with a broken heart, with our knowing our failures and our limitations, he will never forsake us. But if we think we've made it, and then we're walking with hardy eyes and hardy hearts, we're so righteous and this and that. No, we're not going to make it, because we need to understand we stand by his mercy no matter where we are in our walk. If we are keeping all the commandments perfectly, we are saved still by his grace, because there's no one who keeps the commandments perfectly that would enter the kingdom, because it has nothing to do with entering his kingdom. Walking uprightly keeps us in a good relationship so we can stay in that grace. And asking forgiveness as we walk, live in faith in his mercy. There's no level of righteousness we could achieve that would allow us to enter his kingdom. Even Enoch was saved by grace. People don't understand that. Had Enoch lived long enough, he would have failed too. He would have eventually failed. But he walked uprightly to that point in his life. And Elohim says, it was enough. I will take him. Just as he took Elijah. Elijah was about to fail. If you imagine, he was so distraught over what Jezebel and Ahab were doing, that he wanted to die. But Elohim understood his zeal for him. He would rather die than be killed, thinking he was the last prophet, because he was zealous. It's not that he was afraid to die, but he did not want those evil people to have victory over the prophets. So he would rather go and die than die at the hands of those infidels. And Elohim knew the zeal of his heart, and so took him also. So let's try to continue here so we could finish with verse 22. So as I was saying, we need to stand strong in faith and prayer. We need to band together and pray. If you know a brother or sister, like on the line, if you have each other's information, call a brother or sister. Can I pray with you? Can we take a minute to pray? That's very important. And so they threatened them, and then they let them go, finding no way to punish them. It's not that they did not want to punish them. They found no way to punish them, because all the people saw them as servants of Elohim. Now, I bet you if the people did not have that view, they would have punished them. Because finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all all were praising Elohim for what had happened. Not because they heard much reading and a sermon, but it's what had happened. Look through the scriptures. You will see it's always what has happened. The ones who praise Elohim for the scriptures are those who are saved. But the world need the works of the works of the Spirit to turn them around. Verse 22. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So he was a living testimony of both how lingering a sickness can be, an infirmity can be, and how Elohim could deliver no matter how long it's been. So all praised him. All praised Elohim. Let's see. So when verse 23, and I'll stop at verse 26. Maybe verse 27, we'll see. So when they were released, verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported that what the chief priests and elders had said to them. Whoa, did you see what they did? They went to their friends. Who do you think their friends are? You think their friends are among the sinners? No. Their friends are their fellow brethren. These are disciples of Messiah. When they say friends, they're meaning their fellow brethren in the faith. Remember what Messiah Yeshua said? Who are my mother? Who are my brother? And so on. He says, those that do the will of Elohim, those that do the will of Elohim. So these friends here and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. That's what we need to do with each other. That's what the Sabbath is for. That's not just the Sabbath. Us gathering together in all the appointed times, even when it's on a regular day, because every day is an appointed time, believe it or not. If you're not sure, you could ask me about that later. But we need to get together and share our concerns. And not just to kvetch, not just to complain, but to ask, but to pray about it. Not with long words. And I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of praying with long words. And I'm learning not to do it. And especially when I say the Master's Prayer, it reminds me, keep it succinct. He already knows everything. There's no need for me to give an essay. We should give an essay of praise to him. I know our sister Rose, when she prays, she gives a lot of praise to Elohim, and that's great. But our request should be short and sweet. And that, when you do that, it helps you, believe it or not, pray with more faith. When you say it short and sweet, your words will be with more faith. It's an amazing thing. Than when you say a lot of words. Because often when we say a lot of words, it's because we're trying to, like, as if by our much words, we can be more credible. No. If we say it with a short word, our faith will activate more than when we say it with a long word. Our spirit will kick in. We'll go into motion, and we will say what we're saying with more faith. So make your request. Praise a lot. But when we're asking for a particular thing, praying for healing, praying for whatever, say it in a short sentence, a short request. If you fail to do it, don't worry. It'll come as we practice doing that. Verse 24. So when they heard it, what did they do? They lifted up their voices together to Elohim and said, Sovereign, Eternal. That's why it says Sovereign, Eternal. So it's the Adonai Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Sovereign, Eternal, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, by the set-apart Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Eternal and against his anointed. So they quoted from the prophet David, calling, said, Sovereign, Eternal. Notice they did not just call the name of the Eternal, they said it with respect. Sometimes I think, I know we are to call on the name of the Eternal, the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, but sometimes people get carried away and they just address him like his name like that. They don't say sovereign. You know, they just address him. We are to address him as sovereign, as Melech Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, as Adonai Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Okay? Just as like when we speak to our, those of us who had good relationship with our parents, we don't just call our parents by their names, do we? You know, we do it in a respectful way. And you will see throughout the scriptures that's often done. And when the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is used throughout the scriptures, it is positioned in the sentence or the request in such a way that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh stands out. You know, they never just throw the name around like they're speaking about some regular person. And we ought not to do that. We must always make sure we say it in a revered way. It's better to say Adonai, it's better to say the sovereign, it's better to say creator than for us to just loosely name the name. So here they said, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to Elohim and said, sovereign Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, who made the heaven and earth. So they are acknowledging who this sovereign is, who this eternal is. And who through the mouth of our father. And see, they, even to David, they gave respect. Our father, David. He didn't just say David, but it's our father, David. Your servant, giving him more credentials there, acknowledging his who he is, said by the Holy Spirit. He didn't say it through much learning. He didn't say it through Torah study, but it's by the Spirit. Why did the Gentiles range and the peoples plot a vain thing? And the Gentiles are, and all of this is happening today too. So we need to really be strong in him. And stand like this. We need to get together like this, brethren, and pray. And pray together. And you need to find friends to pray with, not just anybody. Who? Friends of Messiah. Because if you are in Messiah's hand, you are his friends. And you need to find friends in Messiah to pray with earnestly. We'll stop here, dear brethren. And we will continue with the book of Revelations when we come back.